your hometown newspaper of the air brings you What's Doing in Western Michigan. What's Doing in Western Michigan, a transcribed roundup of the news and views of the cities, towns, and countryside of Western Michigan. Your reporter, Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. The 1949 high school graduation season, with its commencement exercises, its senior trips, and its class days, has ended, and the caps and gowns have been put away for another year. The news concerning the schools, however, is far from over. The results of school elections in many Western Michigan cities and towns last week will furnish material for the news for many weeks to come. In two towns, Vicksburg and Allegan, important bond issues were included along with the election of school board members. The Vicksburg election resulted in the defeat of the bond issue, which would have provided $540,000 worth of school building construction. The margin of the loss was 73 votes. The Vicksburg Commercial reported last week that this was the second time that the proposal had been turned down by Vicksburg voters. Also turned down was the proposal to increase the millage. This issue was beaten by only a 48-vote margin. The Commercial went on to report that although the turnout this year was lighter than a year ago, the margin by which the bond and millage issues were beaten was much narrower than in the 1948 election. In the Vicksburg School Board election, attorney Victor Bucknell and Lloyd Green were the winning candidates. Allegan's desperate school building situation was not improved by the election last Monday. Allegan voters turned down a $600,000 bond issue by a vote of 572 to 476. The bonds would have provided the funds for the construction of badly needed elementary school buildings. The Allegan News reported that the voters did approve a millage increase for a period of 20 years. A couple of Allegan businessmen commented to the WKZO News Department, however, that the millage increase won't help at all, that the buildings were the important items on the election slate. The new member of the Allegan School Board is Amon Skewer, who was elected without opposition. He replaced Vern J. Moore, the former president of the school board who didn't run for re-election. In Otsego, the only building project presented to the voters was a proposal for the construction of a new school garage, and that was approved, and so $21,000 will be spent for that purpose. Frank Campbell was elected to the Otsego School Board, with Leslie Hart named as board president in a meeting immediately following the election. In a number of other towns, the only item on the ballot concerned the membership of the school board. The Galesburg Argus reported that in the hot election out there, Wilbur Randall and Charles Waddell were elected to the school board. These two men ran far ahead of the field of six candidates. Robert Alm and Stanley Johnson were re-elected to membership on the South Haven School Board, according to the South Haven Daily Tribune. Two veteran school board members in Sturgis were returned to membership on the board, according to the Sturgis Journal. Paul Yoder, who has been secretary treasurer of the school board for 16 of his 18 years on the board, was successful in Monday's election, and Ross Sheets, who will begin his 16th year on the board, was also re-elected. The people of Woodland expressed their faith in the recent action of the school board in relation to the student strike, which took place in the Woodland High School this spring. Guy Cantner, the incumbent, was re-elected to the Woodland District Board, according to the Hastings Banner, and the heaviest vote in the history of the district was recorded. Observers labeled it as one of the most hotly contested campaigns in Woodland history. The Ionia Sentinel Standard reported that Nell Strand, Ionia merchant, will start his ninth year on the board next month after winning the recent Ionia election by a top-heavy margin. At least one school district has yet to hold its annual spring election. That's in Belding, where the Belding Banner News reports that the vote will not be held until Monday, July 11th. Belding is another town that's faced with a growing problem in the matter of adequate school building facilities. Although no bond issues or millage questions are to be on the July ballot, those who are elected to the board next month will soon be faced with a problem of preparing estimates on the work to be done. And so it goes all over the western part of Michigan. The number of youngsters that are going to be ready for school next fall are simply causing the schools to realize that they have absolutely inadequate facilities for taking care of them in a great many cases. Speaking of building, the Banner News reported proudly last week that it had just completed 60 years of operation. The original building Banner was established back in June of 1889 and was later combined with the Belding News. At least one reader of the newspaper, Frank Totten, has been a continuous subscriber ever since the paper was founded. Totten was also on hand 60 years ago to see the first edition of the paper roll off the press. And now here's Harry Travis with some of the stories in the news. Harry?
Paul Perigo of Allegan is minus one front tooth this week, but he has the satisfaction of knowing that he lent a hand to a worthy cause. At a school picnic in Allegan last week, Mr. Perigo was helping set up some folding chairs. Another man was stationed on the second floor of a nearby building and was dropping the chairs into Perigo's outstretched arms. Well, this system worked successfully until one of the chairs unfolded in midair. The chair struck Perigo on the lower lip, and out came the tooth. Paul caught the chair in one hand and the tooth in the other. Outside of this incident, according to the Allegan Gazette, the picnic was a success and was enjoyed by 250 students and parents. The alumni banquet at Pawpaw High School last Thursday evening brought to mind the fact that the Pawpaw School Band won five straight titles a quarter of a century ago. The members of that outstanding musical organization gathered for a reunion in conjunction with the school banquet, and all but a few of the original musicians attended. The band was under the direction of Arthur Castle, now an automobile dealer in Hillsdale. 25 years ago, the band was decked out in smart yellow and gray uniforms, but it was too hot for uniforms last Thursday, says the Pawpaw Courier-Northerner. The weather ran to all extremes at Newaygo last week. The Newaygo Republican reported that in 1 week's time, the town experienced frost, sweltering heat, rain, and sunshine. The Republican said there was no hail or snow, but who knows, that may come in July. The people in Lowell are starting to stir up interest in the annual showboat production, which will be held during the third week in July. The showboat is one of the popular events in the Lowell area, and each year attracts huge crowds during the week-long engagement. The Lowell Ledger announced last week that a talent show will be held Saturday, July 16th, just previous to the opening of the showboat. Last year's winner of the talent show is now on tour professionally. Now, back to Dr. Dunbar.
Well, speaking of community festivals, Harry, the town of Marcellus is getting ready for the annual bluegill frolic that's going to be held down there next weekend. The Sturgis Journal reported last week that Marcellus, a town of just about 1,000 people, expects to be host to more than 20,000 visitors next weekend. The festivities will get underway Friday, according to the Marcellus News. Bernadine Schwartz, queen of the festival, will be crowned Friday, and the event will be officially underway. At midnight Friday, of course, the fishermen will head out to those 36 lakes that are located within a radius of 6 miles of the village and try their luck at fishing. And then on Saturday afternoon, prizes are going to be given to the fishermen that catch the largest bluegills and have the best catches of bluegills and bass. And by the way, WKZO is going to be down there at Marcellus and do a broadcast, which you'll hear over this station, at 5 o'clock next Saturday afternoon. The South Haven Daily Tribune announced last week that there's a good possibility that South Haven may be the site of a modern tuberculosis sanatorium. The Michigan Tuberculosis Association and the Michigan Department of Health are backing the drive to have the new sanatorium built in the near future. State Senator Carlton Morris of Kalamazoo stated that the new building would replace the inadequate facilities at Pinecrest in Oshtemo. South Haven appears to be the most favored site, but regardless of location, all the parties concerned are agreed that the new sanatorium is an absolute necessity. The drive to raise funds for a new addition to Franklin Memorial Hospital in Vicksburg has been a decided success, according to the Vicksburg Commercial. Up to last night, over $50,000 had been reported, leaving only about $5,000 more to go to reach the quota. The Commercial went on to say that there were some additional gifts that couldn't be calculated in terms of dollars, such as the donation made by one contractor who will do all the work of excavating for the building free of charge. In addition, more than 80% of the pledges have been in cash instead of just promises. Well, the heaviest rainfall of the year was recorded in southwestern Michigan last week. For 5 days in a row, rain fell for at least a few hours every day. To most farmers and orchardists, this was good news. The South Haven Daily Tribune reported that this large amount of rainfall has aided fertilization of the ground, thus helping the fruit trees. The strawberry growers, however, weren't quite so encouraged by the rain. A little rain's good for the strawberries, but last week there was a little too much, according to one South Haven grower. And, of course, the farmers, who had a lot of hay on the ground, weren't too happy about it all either. The Greenville Daily News mentioned the heavy rainfall and stated that all pasture crops in that area were improved by the rain. According to the Daily News article, the rain was especially beneficial to truck crop farmers up that way who have suffered heavy losses from frost earlier in the year. Another annual festival sponsored by a western Michigan town is the Grape Festival, which is put on in the city of Pawpaw, in the village of Pawpaw. The first news of the 1949 festival was reported last week by the Pawpaw Courier-Northerner. The dates this year are going to be September 8th, 9th, and 10th. A committee of the Chamber of Commerce is investigating various possibilities for the location of the Midway and various methods of handling the many events on the program. The Water Carnival, a popular event a few years ago, may be revived and added to this September's program. The Red Cross in Three Rivers conducted a campaign last week to get registrations for a blood plasma clinic that's going to be held in that city June 27th and June 28th. Donors were solicited from all over St. Joseph County, and newspapers throughout the county cooperated with a large amount of publicity for the drive. Centerville Observer reported that the blood plasma supply in the Three Rivers Hospital is dangerously low and must be replenished in the near future. The Three Rivers Commercial stated that 70% of the plasma collected will be returned to the local hospital. The blood is processed at a state laboratory after it's collected in Three Rivers. The residents of Bronson are deeply concerned over the sewage disposal problem in that town. A group of local residents met in the Bronson High School auditorium last week to discuss it. They arrived at the conclusion that Bronson's number one health problem is the sewage disposal and drainage situation. Various committees from the group are going to see what can be done about it, according to the Bronson Journal.